And you can find that on, well, actually, I'm not going to tell you which page because you might have a completely different Bible. It will be on the screen, hopefully, in a moment. Is it on the screen? Yeah, great. Ephesians chapter 6. Let me just say, if I don't know you, my name's Ed. I'm the pastor in the church here. It's great to have people here this morning. Also, for those watching online, I'm conscious there's quite a lot at the moment who are isolating because of COVID. Glad that you can join us online and pray that God will bless you, even though you can't be with us in person. Just to reiterate what Stefan said earlier, we are conscious of people's different concerns when it comes to social distancing and things like that. We do have a space in Cares, particularly if you're at home and you're thinking about whether you should come back. We have a space on my left in Cares where there's more distance between the seats and near the windows. So there is that area there for social distancing. And then back at our Hickmott Road building, if people want to have a bit more distance, then we're going to use the foyer area for that, where we'll be able to sit apart a bit further. And again, let's be conscious and sensitive to the different concerns and needs that people have. And thank you for your patience with us. So Ephesians chapter 6. Let me just pray briefly before we read this. Let's pray for God again to speak to us. Lord, we thank you that we've been able to sing that prayer, that you would come to us and speak to us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, who first inspired and carried along your apostles and prophets to write this word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've come to live in us, and that by you we know that we are children of God. And that through you, we are given the understanding of your word that we need. And through you, we have power to serve and to learn and to live for the Lord Jesus. So Holy Spirit, we pray, would you be at work in all our hearts, please. Work in me and through me for your glory this morning. I am weak and needy and sinful, and only in Jesus and through your power can I serve your people faithfully. So help me. In the Spirit's power. And for all of us, Lord, we are all weak and needy and sinful. We all have many things on our minds and hearts as we come here, Lord, in our lives that we're struggling with, sins and addictions and worries and problems, as well as the joys and the thankfulness. And Lord, we just pray, whatever state we've come in this morning, that you would speak to us and encourage us through your precious word. Lead us to Jesus. Help us by your Spirit to understand and believe. And may, Lord, you change us at the very depths of our being, in our hearts, that we might indeed grow more like Christ and that we might live more for your glory. If anyone's not a believer this morning, we're thankful that they're here and we pray that you would show them the Lord Jesus, that they would come to trust and know him. So, Lord, please be with us, be with our children as they learn of you too. Help them to trust in you and to follow you while they're young. Thank you for them. Bless the work of the Sunday school. Bless the children sitting in the service with us here. Bless those at home who are still following along. We just want to commit ourselves to you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to read from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, or that's the schemes and the tricks of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And we're going to particularly be looking at verses 18 to 20 this morning. And there will be some slides to help you follow as we go along at different points. And today, then, we come to the fourth in a little series of five sermons. We've had a little break for a few weeks, but this is the fourth of a series of five sermons that are helping us to think about and to refocus on our mission as a church. We've been scattered and apart from a long time, and so I thought as we've come back together more, let's think about what we should be focused on as a church. And there are five key words that sum up our mission, and there should be a slide to help you see those key words. Our mission is to work together, to pray together as a church, so that people can be saved from their sins and then strengthened in their relationship with the Lord Jesus, and then serve Jesus in the church and in their lives. And we believe that all this can only be done through the power of prayer and for the purpose of bringing praise to God. And today, then, we're focusing on that word prayer. We're thinking about praying. Because as Christians and as a church together, the power of prayer needs to be at the foundation of all that we do. No one is going to be saved. No one is going to be strengthened in their faith. No one is going to serve effectively. There's going to be no praise to God. And there's going to be no true love amongst us unless God himself is at work in us and through us and at work in the lives of other people. And therefore, we need to depend on God and his power, and we do that through prayer. And Ephesians 6, 18 to 20 helps us to see the importance of praying. When I was at university, I studied politics and history, and I took a course on the British Army. And during that course, we studied the first Gulf War. The Gulf War began on the 17th of January, 1991. And it began with a massive air campaign, dropping thousands of bombs. And it was known as Operation Desert Storm. And if you remember that operation, the first priority of it was to take out the Iraqi Air Force and their anti-aircraft missiles. But the second priority of Desert Storm was to destroy the command and communication facilities. And the belief was that if you could destroy the communication facilities and the command center in Baghdad, then you would cause utter confusion for the troops on the battlefield, and the enemy would soon crumble. And of course, that's true in any battle, isn't it? It doesn't matter how good your weapons, how wonderful your armor. If you're not in communication with your commander, then trouble awaits you. Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, we are being reminded that you are, if you're a Christian, in a spiritual battle. Not a battle against flesh and blood, not a battle against people, but a battle against principalities and powers, against spiritual forces of darkness and wickedness. Verse 11 says we're in a battle against the devil, who has wiles, has schemes and tricks. This is the context in which you live the Christian life. This is the context for our mission of seeing people saved and strengthened and serving. We're in a battle. Do you realize that? Are you awake to that reality? Now, the good news is, as we saw with the children, Jesus has already won the war. Through his death and resurrection, he has defeated Satan. But until Jesus comes again, the battle still goes on. Satan is still active, and he will do everything he can, precisely because he knows his time is short, the Bible says. He'll do everything he can to discourage and divide and distract churches and Christians. And so, in a sense, we shouldn't be surprised when church life and Christian life is tough. You shouldn't be surprised that the church in this nation at the moment, and our church in particular too, is going through a tough time. We're facing different challenges. And that shouldn't surprise you. In a sense, it should surprise you when things are going easily. Because the reality is, we're in a battle. The devil does not want people to be saved, strengthened, and serving the Lord Jesus, praying to him and praising God. And he'll do everything he can to divide us up and to distract us from this mission. But the good news is, Christ has defeated him, and he's given us spiritual armor and weapons so that we can stand firm in the battle, and so that we can even go on the offensive and see people saved from his grip. And one of the things that God has given to enable us to stand firm and advance against the enemy is the gift of prayer. And that's what verses 18 to 20 are all about. These verses are stressing the importance of keeping the lines of communication open with our commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil wants to do everything he can to destroy those lines of communication. He doesn't want you listening to God speaking to you through his Spirit in the Bible. He doesn't want you speaking to God in the power of the Spirit through prayer. And yet these things are vital. And so as Paul finishes this section on the spiritual battle within, he stresses the importance of the Word of God in verse 17, God's communication with us, and then of prayer in verse 18 to 20, our communication with God. And verses 18 to 20 then are really like a rally cry. Paul is kind of a captain under the Lord Jesus, and he's saying, come on, troops, get praying, keep praying. Keep the lines of communication open with your commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're thinking about this morning. And there are four things about prayer that that we see in these verses. And as you go away, when you hear sermons on prayer, they can often make you feel overwhelmed, can't they? And I know that. I've listened to sermons on prayer. But my aim this morning is that you go away feeling encouraged and liberated and with a sense of, isn't it wonderful that we get to pray? And I want you to feel that this morning as you go away. So first of all, four things. First of all, the when of prayer. Let's go to our first point. The when of prayer. When should we pray? Verse 18, look at what it says. It's not my words, it's God's word. Praying always. Now, that can't literally mean 24-hour, 7 days a week, non-stop praying, can it? Because the Bible says there's lots of other things you need to do as well as pray in your life. So when the Bible says pray always or pray without ceasing, it's reminding you that prayer needs to be a regular and an ongoing aspect of your life. It's reminding you that there shouldn't be long gaps in your life or in the church when you don't pray. Pray always means that prayer needs to be a constant feature of church life and personal life. And that's because the battle that we're in is constant. The devil will never make peace with you. There's never a day like in the First World War. Do you remember at Christmas, on Christmas Day in one of the years of the war, when they decided to put down their weapons and play football and hang out together, the Germans and the British soldiers, on the battlefield? You'll never get a day like that with the devil. This battle is an always battle, and therefore our praying needs to be always praying. Now, getting practical about that, that means that it's good in your life to try and be disciplined to set aside certain times to pray on your own or with your family. It might be 10 minutes in the morning when you get up. It might be 15 minutes at lunchtime that you try and set aside during your week when you are able. It might be praying before you go to bed. You know when's best for you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I often find, personally speaking, that I concentrate best by going for a walk and praying. That's what I find helpful. Some people find having shorter times of prayer more often much better than trying to have a long time of prayer once a day and just losing concentration and willpower. Only you can know what will help you to keep going and to pray always. And it's the same for us as a church, isn't it? Prayer meetings need to be a priority in your diary. As elders, we have two or three elders meetings a month, and we try and have one of them on a Saturday morning just to pray for you, for the church. And we need to make that and keep that as a priority. We've added one extra prayer meeting a month because people were saying we were feeling that some of our midweek we weren't doing enough praying. So we put one more prayer meeting, the second Tuesday of each month, just to pray for the nation and the church. And it was great to see more people there this past Tuesday, but it'd be great to see more of you coming to pray for that. If you're serving on a team in church, let me encourage you to start your times of activity just by praying together and sometimes having more time given to prayer for the things that you're doing in church life. In the small groups that happen, make sure that you include times of praying for each other, because praying always means that we need to always be getting down to some prayer in our church life and activities. But praying also means that whatever you're doing and wherever you are, you can speak to the Lord. You see, Christianity is about having a personal relationship with God. And part of the privilege of that is that you can speak to him anytime, any place. The well-known Christian and orphanage owner, George Muller, who was well-known as a man of prayer, he once said this, "I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk, and when I lie down, and when I arise. And the answers are always coming." You see, prayer isn't meant to be like a religious duty that you have on a to-do list that you just do and tick off, and then that's it for the day. No, prayer is about having a relationship with the Lord where you have the privilege of being able to speak to him anytime, any place, always. So as you walk to the shops to do some shopping, as you drive to the gym for some exercise, as you sit at your desk at work and are feeling frustrated, as you lie in bed at night and can't sleep, in all these places you can raise your voice to God in your mind or out loud and pray. As you face problems, as you face temptations, when you have a need or hear of someone else in need, when you have reason to thank God or sins to confess, isn't it wonderful that you don't have to wait for a special time? There and then you can speak to the Lord out loud or in your heart and say, "Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, thank you. Lord, please help me or help this other person. Lord, please give wisdom in this situation." So let me encourage you to make spontaneous prayer more of a natural part of your life. Let me encourage you, when you're talking to other Christians after the services at church and you get talking about some problem or issue in your life or in the church, just finish that conversation by saying, "Let's just pray about that together." You might go somewhere quiet. You might just stand where you are. I saw some people doing this last week and it's lovely to see. Just stop and pray about it. If you've got a grumble about church, then finish that conversation and say, "Well, let's just pray about that together." We'll often change your thoughts and attitudes. When you hear a need in your own life, just pray about it there and then. Having set times of prayer can be very helpful for the church, for individuals, but praying always is about making the most of the gift that Jesus died for you to have, a relationship with God where he's your Father who wants to listen to you, shooting up prayers to him throughout the day. So let me encourage you to make talking to the Lord throughout your day, as you're doing the washing up, you're driving the car, wherever it is, make it a natural part of your life. The when of praying, praying always. Secondly, the what of prayer. What should we be talking to God about? Well, verse 18 says, "Pray always," here it is, "with all prayer," some Bibles say all kinds of prayer, "and supplication." What does that mean? Well, it simply means praying has variety to it. Prayer, this word, it can involve praising God, thanking God, confessing your sins, asking for things, praying for yourself, interceding for others, praying about physical needs, praying about spiritual needs. Prayer has variety. And just notice that to the word prayer, Paul adds supplication. It means request. Because while prayer isn't meant to just be reduced to asking for things, it must include asking for things. Like children on earth, they come to their parents and they say to their parents, Mummy, Daddy, can I have some food? Can I have a drink? Can I have some help? Can I have a cuddle? Can we go to the park? Constantly coming, asking for things. God, our Father, who loves us, wants us to constantly come to him and ask for his help, his provision, his blessing. I was reading an article this week by someone who was kind of gathering together tips on praying from the life of Charles Spurgeon, who was a well-known preacher in the 19th century. And the first tip was this: be specific in your asking. And this is what Spurgeon says. To make any value of prayer, there should be definite objects for which to plead. We often ramble in our prayers after this, that, and the other, and we get nothing because we don't really desire anything. So don't merely plead with God for sinners in general, but always mention some in particular. If you're a Sunday school teacher, don't simply ask that your class may be blessed, but pray for your children definitely by name before the Most High. And if there's a mercy in your household that you crave, don't go in about it a roundabout way, but be simple and direct in your pleadings with God. That's great advice, isn't it, from a man who knew how to pray. We need to be more like our children. When my children come to me, they don't say, Dad, can you bless me and my friends, you know, and leave it general. They come and they say, can I have a biscuit? Can we watch the television? Can I go round to Sam's house? Can I play on your phone? They tell me exactly what they want, what they need. And as we come, we shouldn't come with vague, general requests. Let's get specific. Jesus says, ask for daily bread. Ask for forgiveness for specific sins. Ask for protection from Satan. Ask for wisdom when you need it in a particular circumstance. Ask for healing. Ask for grace to sustain you through times of suffering. Ask that the kingdom would come in your life. Ask for the salvation of children and parents. Ask for a new associate pastor. Ask that love would abound among us. Ask for boldness to share the gospel. We need to pray with all prayer and supplication. That means praying with variety, and it means specifically asking for things. Thirdly, the how of prayer. How should we pray? Notice two things we're told. First of all, we're told to pray, verse 18, in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, for a start, it means that the Holy Spirit helps you to pray. Isn't that good? We struggle with prayer. God has given us the Spirit to help us. It's the Spirit who stirs up desires in our hearts to pray and gives us the strength to pray. Romans 18, verse 15 says it's the Spirit in us who helps us to know that we really are children of God, so that we cry out, God, Father, Abba, Father. He gives us that sense that we can come to God. Romans 8, 26 encourages us and says, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So when you're struggling to pray, when you don't quite know what to pray, do you ever get to that? I get to a situation like that, I don't know what to pray, Lord. Be encouraged that the Holy Spirit, who knows what to pray, is interceding for you with the Father. He's praying for you when you struggle to pray. So praying in the Spirit is about depending on the Spirit to help. You can pray, oh, Holy Spirit, I'm really struggling to pray. I seem to have given up with praying for a while. I need your help. Stir me up to pray. We can ask him to help us. But praying in the Spirit also means being guided by the Spirit as you pray. Praying prayers that at the end of which the Holy Spirit himself could say, Amen to. So for example, if I prayed, Lord, please help me to win the national lottery because I want to be really rich and have an easy life. Or if I prayed, Lord, my neighbor is annoying me so much, please cause a brick to fall on his head today. Would that be praying in the Spirit? No, that would be praying out of step with the Spirit. That would be praying in the flesh. Sinful prayers. Praying in the Spirit means praying prayers that are guided and shaped by the Spirit. Prayer is in line with God's will. And how do we know the will of God? We know it through the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, it's no accident, is it, that in verse 17, Paul speaks about the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. And then in verse 18, straight away, he goes on to talk about praying in the Spirit. Word and prayer go hand in hand. Through the Word of God, the Spirit of God teaches us about how we then should pray, what to ask for, how to ask for it, how to worship God, what promises can we plead, how to confess sins. And it's as we bring our praying in line with the Holy Spirit and His Word that we'll be praying in the Spirit. Just to give you one example, when people we love are unwell, when they're sick, it's good, it's right to pray for healing. The Bible encourages us to pray for healing. That's something that we can do, to pray that people would be healed. But the Bible also teaches us, as we read it, that God uses times of sickness or suffering to help people grow in their faith, to learn to depend on Him, to become more like Christ. Paul tells us at the beginning of 2 Corinthians that in his time of suffering, he was comforted by God so that he could learn then to comfort others when they were suffering. And so when someone is ill, yes, we should pray for healing, and we can do that, but we can also pray at that same time, Lord, please also use this time of suffering or illness or difficulty to help this person learn to depend on you, to grow in their faith in you, to become more patient, to learn what it means to suffer so that they can comfort others who are then suffering. That would be praying in line with the Spirit, because those are the things the Spirit teaches us in His Word. So how should we pray? Pray in the Spirit. We're helped by the Spirit, and we need to listen to the Spirit so that we can learn how to pray. But notice under this point of how, we're also told to pray with perseverance. Verse 18 says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. The word being watchful there, you might have a Bible that translates it, stay alert. It literally means stay awake. Stay awake. It's another reminder that we're in a battle, aren't we? And we need to stay awake. We need to stay praying. This is why I had that passage from Mark's Gospel read, where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He wants his disciples to pray. And what do? They fall asleep. And Jesus says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And what do? They fall asleep again. And then they fall asleep again. It's quite encouraging, isn't it? That the disciples Jesus chose weren't that good at praying to begin with, at least. And this was a time of great spiritual attack. And while Jesus prayed, they fell asleep. No wonder they ended up deserting him and Peter denying him. This is what can happen when we don't watch, stay alert, and pray. And this reminds us that praying takes effort. It's not easy, is it? Sometimes people say prayer is the easiest thing. I think prayer is the hardest thing in the Christian life. It's not an easy thing. If you're anything like me, you'll know that the actual act of praying takes effort. How easily we get distracted. I said before, I like to go for a walk when I pray, and I like to pray out loud, because if I do it in my mind, it's just hopeless. But even then, I find things to distract me, you know, and my mind can easily wander, so I have to work at it. It's hard work praying for you as a church, praying for my family. It's hard work. We need to persevere in it. It will take effort. It will take discipline. And then if you're anything like me, you'll know that getting down to praying in the first place takes effort. How easy it is for prayer time to be squeezed out by other things, even good things, even serving God things. It's been much easier this week preparing a sermon about praying than getting down to praying. How ironic. I seek to have a time of prayer in the morning when I get up and also in the afternoon. And I find those times often come under attack. I have to work to guard them. And sometimes I don't guard them very well. I have to learn to persevere, and I don't know about you, but I'm often finding myself having to pick myself up and go again. Not looking back, but looking forward. I need to guard my time of prayer. And then there are other things that can make you struggle with prayer. Coldness in your heart, guilt about some sin. God won't want to listen to me after that. Unbelief in God's power. Maybe you've been praying about something for so long and nothing's happening and you're just, I'm just giving up. It might be that you get bored of praying or you're just too tired to pray. Or there's something on TV that you want to watch instead of praying. Let's be honest, there are many excuses that you have that I can have for not praying. And it's the same for the church. We need to pray together. The Bible encourages us to say, pray as a church together. So why do we find that hard? Why do some of you never come and pray? It may be that you have very legitimate reasons, but if you're anything like me, I'm guessing it's because, as Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You might find praying too tiring, too busy, you're too bored, you don't feel like coming, you don't want to do it the way that we do it anyway, you're a bit nervous about being there. We all have lots of excuses. And what does the Bible say to your excuses and to my excuses? Does it say, well, never mind, just, you know, don't worry about it, just give up. Yeah, you can go through the Christian life without praying, you'll be fine. No, it says, be watchful to this end with all perseverance. Stay awake, stay alert, don't give up, keep going. If you've stopped for a while, get back up and get on again with praying. Work at it, it takes effort. And I think it's a wonderful thing that the Bible has lots to say about prayer. I think one of the reasons is because God knows we struggle with it so much. I struggle with it so much. So in the Bible, we have loads of encouragement to pray and to keep going. And I think that's what Paul is doing here. He's encouraging you. He's not coming with a stick to beat you into praying. That never works, does it? You never do anything or keep doing it anyway if someone's just beating you into doing it. Paul here, he's a bit like a coach by the side of the racetrack. And he knows you're in a battle. And he knows you find it hard. And so he's encouraging you on. He's saying, keep going. Look, you've got this gift of prayer. Keep using it. Press on with it. Do you need to hear that message today? Has it been a while since you spoke to the Lord? I remember praying with a Christian friend once. I stayed with him for a while. I didn't know what was going on in his spiritual life. I said at the end of our time together, let's pray. And he prayed very honestly. He said, Lord, it's been a while. And maybe it's been a while for you since you really prayed. Have you got out of the discipline of coming to pray with the church? Then here's another encouragement. Not to make you feel guilty or bad, but to say, come on, let's get praying. Let's use this gift that God has given us in this battle. Finally, the who of praying. Who should we pray for? Who should we pray for? Can we get that who one? Here we go, the who of prayer. We need to pray for ourselves, don't we? You need to pray for you. That's important. But here we're reminded that our praying shouldn't just be self-focused. It should be for others too. Verse 18 says, pray with perseverance, what? For all the saints. For all the saints. You see, this life isn't just about me and my battle. It's about us and our battle. And so we need to support each other in prayer. Did you notice there are four alls in verse 18? Paul says, pray always with all kinds of prayer and all perseverance for all the saints. He's saying, have a big view of prayer. Now, of course, praying for all the saints doesn't mean you can literally pray for every Christian in the world by name. No one can do that. No one's got the time. No one's got the knowledge to do that, apart from the Lord Jesus, and he does do that, praise him. But what this does mean is that we shouldn't be small-minded and selfish with our praying. As the Lord brings Christians into your life, into your circle, then you can pray for them, and they can pray for you. So let me encourage you to start with the church that you're part of, this church. You might be in a pastoral group, a smaller group of people that you know. Pray for them. Pray for the Christians that you serve with, maybe the fellow deacons, fellow elders, the people you serve with in Sunday school. Pray for them. Pray for the people that you serve. As you get the news and prayer sheet, have a look at it. See what prayer needs for others have been raised. As you're part of a small group prayer meeting or the church prayer meeting, listen to the requests. That's one reason why we pray together, because we find it hard to pray on our own. So praying together can really help us keep focused, and we can share needs and pray for each other. Pray for the Christians and missionary organizations that we support. To practically help with this at the moment, actually, we're seeking to prepare a prayer diary for the church. We had one a long time ago when I first came to Whitgift. We haven't had one for a long time. We're seeking to produce one at the moment, and it will be a little prayer diary that we'll print off and give to everyone that you can just use month by month. And each day of the month we'll have a few people from the church to pray for, one of the church activities to pray for, and one of the missionaries that we support to pray for. And it will help you to pray for different people through the church through the month. And the plan is to get that sorted and printed in the coming weeks to help us practically to do this, to pray for all the saints. And then for all of us, we've got different Christians and unbelievers that we know and Christian organizations, and we can pray about those things as the Lord leads us to do so and lays them on our hearts. But I don't know about you, the thought of praying for all the saints feels very daunting, doesn't it? Sounds very overwhelming. And one of the things I found really helpful with this is some words from Kevin DeYoung's book, Crazy Busy. I've mentioned the book before for other reasons. But here's a really great bit from that book about prayer. And if we can have it, it's going to be on the screen. Here we go. I'm going to read it to you. This really helped me. Prayer can feel like the biggest burden of all. We can always pray more, and we can't possibly pray for every need in the world. Even if we're extremely organized and disciplined, we won't be able to consistently pray for more than a handful of people and problems. But that doesn't mean our prayers are limited to the items we can write on a postcard. If your aunt's cousin has upcoming heart surgery, pray immediately after you hear about it. When a missionary shares her request, pray right on the spot for them. Don't let the moment pass you by. Pray a short prayer, trust God for the results, and in many cases, move on. I don't know about you, but I found that quite a liberating thing to read. Because those words reminded me that prayer isn't meant to be some overwhelming burden in your life that you just give up with because it just seems too hard. It reminded me that not everything that you pray about has to be on a prayer list and prayed about every single day. And really, it just goes back to that idea of praying always, doesn't it? Having prayer as a spontaneous thing in your life so that when you hear about a need or a problem, you can pray about it and then leave it with the Lord. Sometimes you might want to pray about it a bit more regularly because it's something much closer to home. Sometimes you might just pray once and leave it with the Lord and then move on. Since I've read that, I've found that so much more helpful in my life, that sense of spontaneous prayer and not just feeling like you've got to have this massive list that you pray about every single day. This is about having a privilege of supporting others in prayer. But finally, just notice here, Paul says, as we think about the who of prayer, not only does he say pray for all the saints in general, he also says pray for those who preach the gospel in particular. Look at verses 19 and 20. Paul says, and pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul was the greatest evangelist and missionary ever in the world. Yet he was humble enough to know that he couldn't do anything in his own strength and power. So he was always asking churches, please pray for me. Pray for me. Specifically here, he asked for prayer for clarity and courage to preach the gospel. That's what those words utterance and boldness mean. Utterance. Pray that I would speak the gospel clearly so people understand it. Boldness. Pray that I would preach with courage, not leaving out the difficult bits and not stopping when it gets tough. And on one level, we can pray that for ourselves. We can all pray that, can't we? As you seek to be a witness for Christ wherever he's put you, and you seek to take opportunities to invite someone to a carol service or to take someone to Christian Union or to speak about what you believe as that comes up in a conversation. We all need to pray, Lord, give me clarity and courage. But we can particularly pray for this for those who proclaim the gospel to others and are called to do that. Again, I'm sure many of you will know the story of Charles Spurgeon, whose church was attended by 5,000 plus people, who planted many churches, who set up orphanages, who led people to Christ. And he was once asked, what's the secret of all this fruit in your ministry? And he simply replied, my people pray for me. My people pray for me. That's what gospel preachers need most of all. That's what I need most of all. That's what Sukraj in his street evangelism and preaching needs most of all. That's what the missionaries we support as a church need most of all. That's what the Sunday school teachers and the Friday night youth group leaders and the small group Bible study leaders need. They need our prayers. And I'm so thankful that you do pray for me. I know that you do pray for me. And some of you have that gift of praying and encourage me as you tell me that you've been praying for me. And let me encourage you to persevere in that. Let me encourage you in our church prayer meetings to pray more for the preaching of the word. I don't think we do it enough. Sometimes we do it a little bit, but I don't think it's a consistent pattern. And I don't say that because I want things to be focused on me and my work, but because this is a Bible principle, that in our praying, we should pray for the preaching of the word and the preachers of the word and the teachers of the word. And ultimately, as we pray for that, not only will it benefit me and those who preach the word, but it will benefit you as the Lord answers that prayer and you're blessed through the ministry of the word. You see, these things go together. The preachers and the prayers need each other. And what a blessing it is as a preacher to know that others are praying for you. My people pray for me, said Spurgeon. Let me encourage you and stir you up that just as the Lord calls me to pray for you, that you are called to pray for me. And we don't always get it right, do we? We don't always do it as we should. We forget to do these things. Let me encourage you in them again. So what have we seen today? We've seen that the power of prayer must be at the foundation of our lives and church. You can only stand firm in the battle. We can only fulfill our mission by depending on God in prayer. But remember as we go away that prayer is not meant to be a burden to weigh you down. Remember that you're not saved and justified by how well your prayer life has been going this past week. Remember that you're saved and justified by faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and who ever lives to pray for you so that you can be forgiven your sins and have access to the Father in heaven. And he never fails. Praise God for Christ. So don't think of prayer simply as a duty to fulfill and tick off a list. Think of it as a gift and a privilege that Christ died that you might have. A privilege to speak to the God of all the earth who cares for you, who cares for our church, who wants to listen to us, and who says, bring your worship and bring your needs to me through my Son who died and ever lives to pray for you. Let's bow our heads for a moment and let's ask that the Lord would help us in this gift of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your words, practical teaching about this practical and wonderful gift of prayer. And I start, first of all, by saying, sorry, Lord. We're sorry that we've taken this gift so often for granted. We're sorry that we often do faint and give up and fall asleep like the disciples. I'm sorry that I've not prayed as faithfully for the church as I ought. I'm sorry, Lord, for the ways and times when I don't persevere. But Lord, I thank you so much for Christ, who does persevere in prayer for his church. Thank you that he is our high priest who died on the cross, rose again, and ever lives in the power of an endless life to make intercession for us. Thank you that through him we can come to the throne of grace boldly, anytime, anywhere. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you that you're a father who knows how to give good gifts and you want your little children to come to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've caused us to know that we are your children and we cry out, Abba, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that when we don't know what to pray and we give up in praying, that you're still praying within us, bringing our requests or needs to the Father in heaven. So, Lord, help us to pray. Help us to persevere in prayer. Help us to pray always. Help us, if we've given up in praying, to pick up this gift again and to use it. Help us, Lord, to pray for all the saints. Help us to pray for one another. Help us to pray for the preaching of the gospel and to see the fruit of that prayer and that preaching. Help us to pray with variety, bringing our praises, thanks, confessions, and needs to you. Help us, Lord, to be watchful and alert so that we can stand firm in the battle and so that we can fulfill our mission in the power of your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for this gift. We thank you most of all for Christ who's opened up this gift for us. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to go away thankful to him, depending on him, and coming to you through him. And if there are some here today who've never come to know you personally, help them to see that you can become their Father in heaven simply as they pray and call out to you, confessing sin and asking Jesus to be Savior. Lord, may they do that today and know the joy of knowing you and being able to speak to you. We thank you for these things. Help us to persevere, Lord, not just as a thing for this week, Lord, and then give up again, but Lord, work in our hearts that we might have fresh motivation, desire, and thought about prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's stand and sing our final song together.